Welcome back, sisters. Still going through John chapter 10. So this week we are going to be going through John 10, 13 through 26, and we're going to be talking about Jesus as our good shepherd and how we only hear his voice and what it means for him to be the good shepherd of our souls. Super excited about this particular lesson. He made a way where there was no way for us, sisters, and that is exciting. Talk a lot about the importance of abiding in Christ and knowing him deeply in this particular teaching and the importance of it. And so I just want to encourage you, if you have never gone through a deep study of the Word of God and really knowing some deeper things of doctrine and theology, I highly encourage you to get the 15-week Bible study that I have on Amazon called Equipping the Saints. It really has blessed my walk when I started learning and understanding what God really has done for me. And it deepened my worship, it deepened my understanding, and it really does help protect us from a lot of the false teachings that are out there about the deity of Christ, who he is, and what he came for. And so I would just encourage you to take a look at that. It's a 15-week study, but you can go at your own pace, and it's all scripture. It's not my opinion. It really is just what God has taught about himself and about us and who we are in him. And so I would hope that that will bless you. There'll be a link in the show notes for that. Meanwhile, enjoy this verse-by-verse Bible study through the Gospel of John. Hi, family. Welcome to God's Word Transforming Lives. Are you wanting to learn the Bible verse by verse, one letter at a time, with real life application? Then this podcast is for you. My name is Amy, and I have been teaching the Word of God to women for over 15 years now. I came out of some trauma from my childhood, and it left me feeling so empty. And after searching high and low with everything the world had to offer, I always came up short. Until I learned the Word of God for myself. And it was in that I became transformed. So if you would like to be transformed by God's Word, then stick around and let's do this together. Did you know I have a free sisterhood community of women just like you? Women who love Jesus and they love one another? They too are looking for that deeper walk with Christ and they love learning his Word. If you pause right now and click the link below in the show notes, it'll take you right to the Facebook group. We look forward to getting to know you.
Chapter 10. Okay. So, remember again, I just kind of want to recap a little bit that John wrote this gospel for the main purpose. It's an evangelistic gospel. He wants us to know through reading this gospel that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the one that came to save the world. He's fully God and he's fully man. I know we talk about that almost, oh, we do. We talk about it every single week. It's because if you notice, it's in every single section that we go over. Jesus over and over and over again made it clear that he was the Son of God and he was the Son of man, that he was fully God. He was God with us. Emmanuel, Luke calls him, God with us. And he also makes it very clear that he was also the Messiah, the one prophesied about, and how he fulfilled all of the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament, which would be absolutely impossible for anybody to fulfill those. So we're still over here at the festival of the Feast of the Booths. We're still in this particular season right now. He's still talking to the Pharisees. Remember last week we talked about how he was the good shepherd and how his sheep will hear his voice. And he was taking the Pharisees back to Ezekiel 34, where they were bad shepherds. He was saying, you guys are robbers and thieves. You've not taken care of God's sheep. You've not taken care of God, of our people like you're supposed to. And we kind of talked about today how we have false shepherds, false teachers, and false prophets abounding today, not only in America, but all over the world. And how we as sheep, if we're truly his tonight, that we will not hear the voice of a stranger. Jesus promises that. He says, they will hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not hear. And so we take great comfort in that, that if you're truly born again, that you are protected by the good shepherd, that he will keep you, that he will guide you, that he will speak to you, that he will keep you from getting snared up with false teachers and false teachings and deceptions and lies from the enemy. And so that was like a great comfort. And so he's letting them know that they're like hairless hirelings, just hired hands. They don't care about the sheep. They don't care about who the sheep are. They don't care that they're being slaughtered and scattered because they're all about themselves. The Pharisees were very prideful. They were all about money. They were all about what the sheep could give them and do for them. And we have that now abounding in the American church for sure. And that false gospel has spread across the world now, where there's many people, especially television evangelists, where they're up there and all they care about is lining their own pockets and buying big jets and big cars and fancy all this and that. They don't care about the poor and the oppressed and the broken. And so in the word, so that's what Jesus is talking about here. And so we stopped off at verse 14, where he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Jesus using that word know there is that word intimacy, intimate. To know as a husband and wife how they intimately know each other. This is even more intimate than that. He knows every aspect about us. He knows every cell in our body. He has every single one of our hairs numbered. When I take a shower and I lose 4 hairs in the shower, from taking a shower, he's like, oh, Amy just lost 4 hairs. She now has 10,330 instead of 34, right? He knows us so intimately, inside and out. If we're truly his, he knows us. Remember Matthew 7, 21 through 23, all the many are going to come before him and say, Lord, didn't we do all these mighty things in your name? Didn't we go and prophesy? Didn't we have healing? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we go to church every Sunday? Didn't we preach behind pulpits? Didn't we do all this stuff? And he says, depart from me, what? I never knew you. He didn't know them intimately. They weren't called by their name. They were not in his pasture. He was not their good shepherd. He didn't know them. He knew of them. He knows them because he is Creator God, and so he knows every person. But he doesn't have that intimacy with him. Is that's what he's talking about here. That intimacy, that abiding in one another. And so, and he also says that we're going to know him like that. That we're going to have that intimate knowing of him. And that we have that ability to know the Good Shepherd. But unfortunately and sadly, many people who claim to be Christian do not take the time to get to know the Good Shepherd. How do we get to know him? Through his word. John 1:1, he is the word. And the word was God, and the word was with God. He is the word of God. And so many Christians do not read the Bible anymore. And if they do read it, it's what I call a toilet devotional. They're taking a potty break. They got some toilet devotional sitting next to the toilet. They open up to whatever today's devotion is. And that's all they get is some man-made little scripture that makes them feel good for the day, right? Because those devotionals are all about making you feel good. And then you close it and you go, oh, I got my Jesus on today. That's not knowing God. The church does not know the attributes of God anymore. They don't know doctrine. They don't know theology. Theology literally just means to know God, to know who he is and who he's revealed himself to be in the scriptures. And you're not going to know that if you're not in the word, if you're not abiding in the word. Now, we also get to know God through prayer and worship and fellowship with one another. We get to know him by going out on the streets and doing evangelism. We have dreams and visions. You know, those are also great things. But 95% of the time, the way that the good shepherd's going to speak to his sheep is through his word. This is the life. This is the transformed life. This is what's going to transform your life is knowing his word, rightly dividing it. Study and show yourself approved as a good workman of God. And so he says, you should know me. He's given us the power to know him. He's given us the Holy Spirit that will teach us and guide us through this entire scripture. We don't have to worry about what man will teach us, for the Holy Spirit lives in us and he will teach us and guide us. Now we do need teachers. That's one of the fivefold, and praise God for good teachers. But the Holy Spirit is our ultimate teacher. So he goes on to say, this is how he backs up. This is how he wants you to understand the kind of knowing and the kind of intimacy that you and I, if you're saved here tonight, have with your Creator. He compares it to his relationship with the Father. He compares it to that relationship. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. As the Father knows me, and I know him, and we are one. It's one God. We are monotheistic. It is one God operating in three separate personalities or people, but one essence. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one. It's one God. And then he's saying the way that me and the Father know each other are the way that me and you can know each other. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. What's he saying here? I have other sheep not from this fold. Who's the fold that he's talking to? The Jewish fold. That's what he's talking about, the Jewish, but he's speaking to the Jews.
Yeah.
So he's saying, I have more sheep than just what's here. It's not just you anymore, Jewish people. It's what it's always been predicted. It's what's always been prophesied. I'm coming for the nations. And he's saying, I have sheep all over the world, from every nation, from every ethnicity, from every tongue and tribe. And I'm going to call them out. He knows them all. This is what's so beautiful. When Jesus hung on that cross, he already knew every sheep by name from the foundation of the earth until the end of time, until the very last sheep will be called. So he thought of you, Bree, when he was hanging there. He thought of you, Autumn. He thought of you, Mom. He thought of his sheep, all of them. God is not in time. Jesus came and put himself in time for a season, but he was still God. He was still omniscient, all-knowing. He knew who his sheep were in front of him, and he knew every sheep scattered across the world for all of time. For all of time. So when he hung there on the cross, he hung there for all the sheep of all time. And then when you become born again, he called you by name. Remember, we talked about that last week. And so he thought of you at the cross. He had you written in the Lamb's Book of Life at the foundation of the earth. He knew who you were. He knew what he was getting, Bree. He knew at the foundation of the earth what you were going to do and all the sins that you were going to do against him and how you were going to be again and all the blasphemy and the sin. He knew, Stephanie. He knew, Amanda. He knew. And he chose you. And then he died for you, thinking of your name. And he knew the very moment that he was going to call your name, you were going to hear Brianne. And you were going to come. Just like the sheepfold, when the shepherd goes and calls the sheep, they know the voice. He's saying, I have many more sheep than just here in Judaism. I keep saying that word. Anyways, so, and other sheep I have, okay, I did that. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay my life, that I may take it again. I lay down my life that I may take it again. He's obedient. God the Son, Jesus, was obedient to God the Father in his humanity. He came here to what? Do the will of the Father. Do the will of the Father. And that's to lay his life down for the sheep. It says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down willingly. Romans didn't kill him. The Jews did not kill him. Jesus laid his life down willingly. And he says, and I have power to lay it up again. So his humanity says, I lay my life down willingly. That's Jesus as human. But then he says, the deity, I have the power to raise my life up again. Only God has resurrection power. Even if you go and lay hands on a dead body and it resurrects, it's not you, Gabby. It's the power in you, which is God. Only God can resurrect a dead body. So here's Jesus again saying, in my humanity, I'm submitted to the will of the Father, but in my deity, I have the power to resurrect my own life. And he says, I'm about to do that for you. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down willingly and have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Verse 19, therefore there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon, and he's mad. He's straight crazy. There's something. This guy is nuts. He's talking about being God. He's talking about being, resurrection. He's talking about being the good shepherd that was prophesied about, the divinic line. Remember, we talked about that in Ezekiel 34 last week. And the others said, no, I don't think so. These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Remember in verse 9, he had healed the blind eyes. And that had never been done in the history of humanity. And all of a sudden, he's able to heal a blind man's eyes who was blind from birth. Blind from birth. And so now it was the Feast of Dedication. Okay, so we're going to stop. Now we're going to, like, we're going to halt here. We're now, that conversation actually ends, the division. Now we're about 2.5, 3 months out later. In between these chapter verses 21 and 22, he's now left at this point the Feast of Tabernacles, and now he's going to the Feast of Dedication. I'm going to bring up a fun point here for a second. Get some of you religious spirits all in a hanker. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. It was the winter. Does anybody know what the Feast of Dedication is? It's Hanukkah. I'm not going to get into the story of Hanukkah or how Hanukkah became about, but it was between the dry years of the 400 years where there was no prophet speaking between Micah and Matthew before the Messiah came. Big war came, somebody defiled the temple, and the Maccabees came and fought and whatever. So the Jewish people decided that they were going to make a feast in honor of God being able to rededicate the temple to God. Guess what that is? It's a man-made tradition, a man-made dedication. It is not in the Old Testament anywhere. It is not an Old Testament feast. It is not any, it's just a man-made tradition to honor God. And Jesus goes to celebrate it. I just described Christmas to you. Does Christmas have some paganism all torn into it now? Yeah. Were there some things that the Catholics, when they started it, they were kind of trying to bring in paganism and did some stuff? Sure. Yeah, there is. But why do we celebrate it as Christians? For the birth of Jesus. It's a man-made tradition to honor God for the greatest gift ever given to humanity. And so keep it in your heart. Celebrate it in your way and keep the paganism out of it. I'm not a fan of Santa. Do you notice that Santa has all the same attributes as God? He's omniscient, he's omnipresent, and he's all powerful. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been naughty or nice. He's able to travel all over the world in one day, but he can see you at all times. Very interesting. And then we lie to our children and say that he exists. And someday we're going to have to tell our children that we're liars.
And we're going to try to bring Christ in.
And then we're going to try to convince them that the same God that has the same attributes does exist. Please believe us over here. Forget about the fact we've lied for you for 10 to 9 years over here. Seriously, guys. You know, so really pray about that. Pray about, I mean, if you want to play up Santa and be like, hey, Santa's coming, but you're letting them know it's dad. You're letting them know it's mom. You know, this is a fun American tradition. But let's not lie to our children anymore. Let's not do that. And let's honor God with Christmas. And let's say Merry Christmas to every person in the line, every cashier. I ain't saying Happy Holidays to nobody. Because we're dedicating this holiday to Christ and the gift that was given. Emmanuel was born, God with us, to save the world, to save the lost. There was no way for us to get saved. And so I just find it interesting that Jesus celebrated a man-made tradition. And I hope that that releases some of you from that religious spirit, because we're getting ready to go into that season where all your Facebooks are going to be inundated with the religious spirits of how dare you celebrate Christmas, and you better burn your Christmas tree. And you get kind of like, oh, and they're going to bring in the Jeremiah scripture about the green tree and all kinds of stuff. I got caught in that in the very beginning of my walk, because I just wanted to please God so much. And I was so afraid to do anything that would not be pleasing to him. So now we celebrate Christmas in a holy way. And it's all about God. And it's all about Christ. And we keep as much paganism out of it as we possibly can. That's how we do it. Verse 23. And so now we're in the winter months. So we're in the November, December months. We're now about 3 months out from the cross. So Jesus is about 3 months away from the cross at this point. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He's like, I have been telling you for 33 years, or for almost three and a half years now. I've showed you with the works, the mighty miracles that I've done. I've proven that I am who I say I am. I told you that before Abraham was, I am, and you tried to kill me. I told you that I'm greater than Moses. I've showed you that I'm greater than David, the good shepherd. I've told you, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the shepherd. Using that same word as I am from the Old Testament, Yahweh. I've proved it in my signs, wonders, and miracles. I've told you, but you can't see it because you're not called. You're not one of my sheep. And so you cannot hear my voice. And you're blinded in your sin. And he told them last time, you're going to die in your sin. Because you're blind. And you refuse to believe the truth. And so you will die in your sin. And the wrath of God abides on you. When we refuse to believe the truth and we refuse to repent of our sins and place our faith in Jesus Christ, his wrath abides on us. Before we got saved, his wrath literally just abided there. It sat there just waiting. If you would have died in your sin, that whole cup of wrath that Jesus took on the cross, you would have experienced on Judgment Day. The only reason why we're not going to have that full wrath that comes at us like a rushing tidal wave that's 50 feet tall and 1,000 feet wide that's going to come and just consume you on Judgment Day for your sins. The only reason is because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because you repented and put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And you have evidence of that with a transformed life. See, everyone thinks they're saved in America. Everyone did the prayer. Everyone said the little sinner's prayer. Everyone took the flu shot. That's not salvation. Jesus said, you must believe. Remember, even in his day, remember in John chapter 2, all these people followed him because of his signs, wonders, and miracles. And they said, we believe in him, so we're following him. He says, you don't believe in me. I know your hearts. Just because you say my name, just because you follow me, doesn't mean you believe in me. There's a lot of people that follow Jesus because of what they're getting from it here on earth. But they don't live a crucified life. They don't have the regenerated work of the Holy Spirit. They're not living a life of holiness and righteousness, laying down their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just made a profession one day so that they don't have to worry about going to hell. But the sad thing is, they're blind and in their strong delusion, according to 2 Thessalonians. They've refused to believe the truth, so God put them over a strong delusion to make them think that they're saved. And that's who's going to be standing there on Matthew 7, 21 through 23 day. They think they're saved. They said, I casted out demons. I did healings and miracles. I prophesied in your name. They call him Lord twice. They're under a strong delusion. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. The word tells us to work on our salvation with fear and trembling, to make your election sure. Take the test of 1 John. Look at your life. Take your life and line it up with God's word. Do you desire holiness? Do you desire righteousness? Do you desire his word? Do you desire to be in fellowship with his people? Do you have a heart for the lost, the hurting, the broken, the prostitute, the drug addict? Are you the hands and feet of Jesus here on this earth? Or are you just consumed by your cars and your homes and your jobs and your bank accounts and your clothes and the women and the men?
Preach it.
Amen.
Are you consumed with pornography? Or are you consumed with Jesus and his word and his righteousness? In his calling. Jesus could require any one of our souls tonight. You're not promised tomorrow.
Right.
And Jesus said, repent and put your faith in me. That means turn away from your sins. Understand that you're going to stand before a holy God one day. And you've broken all the Ten Commandments. There's nobody in this room that hasn't told a lie. There's nobody in the room that hasn't looked on a man or a woman with lust in their heart. And Jesus said, that's adultery. There's no one in this room that hasn't had hatred for somebody at a moment in time. That's considered murder, according to Jesus. There's no one that wasn't disobedient to your mom and dad while you were growing up. And there's no one who probably hasn't stolen candy money from mom either to go down to the local store when they were 5 years old. Or maybe you've had some bigger theft. Maybe you've stole music off the internet. Maybe you steal Netflix. Your friend actually pays for the account, but you have the password and you're stealing Netflix every month. I don't know. We've all broken the Ten Commandments, and that's the law, because he's a good judge. He's a righteous judge. We're going to stand before a holy God. And he ain't going to care that you crossed Granny across the street. He's not going to care that you went to church and took communion and paid a 10% tithe. That's not what saves you. But did you repent and believe? Not only did you believe in Jesus, but did you believe in the Jesus of Scripture? That he's fully God and fully man. Did you believe in the Lord? Lord means the hypostatic union. I am God in flesh. I am 100% human, and I'm also 100% God. See, there's a lot of false Christian religions out there that say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but he's not God. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but he's just a created angel. I believe in Jesus, but he's the brother of Satan. Then you don't believe in Jesus. You believe in a Jesus that your watchtower has told you to believe in, or you believe in a Jesus that's been comfortable with you. I talked to somebody this week that said, oh, I believe in Jesus, but I don't go to church because I do yoga and I believe in New Age and I'm metaphysical and I'm this and I'm that. And I said, then you don't believe in Jesus, honey. You believe in a Jesus that you're comfortable with, that makes your flesh feel better every day when it gets up. You're under a strong delusion. That's not the Jesus of Scripture. And that's why we need to know our Scriptures. Because the world is so deceptive now. You guys want anything that your flesh desires, I promise you I will find you a false teacher that will tell you it's okay. You want to walk in homosexuality? I've got a teacher for that. You want to believe that Jesus isn't God? I got all kinds of teachers for that. You want to believe that you're transgender? I got a teacher for that. You want to kill your babies? I sadly have false teachers in the Christian church that says it's okay to murder your children now. I can get you a false teacher for anything your flesh desires. But there's only one good teacher. The good shepherd. And he says, my sheep will hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not hear. And so if you're under a strong delusion, you're following after false teachers and false prophets and false things, then you do not hear the good shepherd. You're not of that sheepfold. But the good news is tonight you can be in that sheepfold. You can repent and ask God to save you, to do a regenerative work, to seal you with his Holy Spirit, and to transform your life. It's a supernatural experience. It's not a religion. It's not a denomination. It's a supernatural experience with a supernatural God who created the universe and who made every human being after his own image. And so if he's calling your name tonight, repent. Say, Lord, gosh, I'm sorry. Maybe you thought you were saved and you're realizing maybe not. Maybe I'm not. Swallow the pride pill, man. I had to. I was a false convert for years. Years. I played church really well. Really well. My heart was deceitfully wicked. And I did not know him. I followed another gospel. It was not Jesus Christ. But I praise God he lifted that delusion and now I'm saved. But I had to swallow a humble pill. And it was hard. I mean, I was choking it down. But I'd rather be saved and set free than walking in that bondage and that delusion any day. Because when the Son set me free, I mean, he set me free. Anxiety left me. Suicide left me. Depression left me. Post-traumatic stress disorder left me. The love of this world left me. The lust of the eyes left me. The pride of life left me. And I laid it all down and I just want Jesus. My life radically changed. We're going to end there because next time we get together, we're going to go to Mexico. Next time we get together, we're going to talk about eternal assurance. And that's going to be fun.
Father, thank you. Thank you for sending us your Son. Our good shepherd who loves us and guides us and keeps us as we continue to walk through this earth. Thank you for calling our name and giving us that rest from which we need. God, this earth is weary. It is overwhelming at times. It is the sin that we still battle, it just we wrestle with it constantly, God. But you gave us victory. And because you gave us victory, we are now overcomers. And we do not have to be burdened by the sin debt anymore. Perfect love has cast out all fear of judgment. And we thank you for that. Thank you that you put us in the palm of your hand where nothing and no one can snatch us out. Thank you for leading us and guiding us as a good shepherd in all the days of our lives. Thank you for your staff and your rod that brings correction and comfort. Thank you. We thank you for making us sheep in your sheepfold. Where there was no way for me, a Gentile, to come, you've made a way. Thank you, Lord. Please be with my sisters. God, be with them and wherever they're going through right now, the struggles they may be having, the battles that they may be fighting every day. Lord, your Spirit, we are conquerors through your Spirit. We are overcomers. You have won the battle at the cross. We are victorious because of what you've done. Help us to walk in that victory. We thank you, Lord. Help us to flee from temptation, to run from those things that are not pleasing to you. You've given us everything we need to win this war, everything we need to get up every day and battle the darkness and the evil forces and the sin that still dwells in us. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to walk with us and guide us, and that you cover us in your grace and your mercy. Because we all need it. We need new mercies every day, Lord. Be with my sisters, Father. Be with their homes and their families and their finances, God, and their health and whatever it is that they're going through, God. Thank you for touching them, being with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, sisters, God bless you.
Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If it has blessed you in any way, would you give me 30 seconds and share it with a friend of yours? One more small little favor, if you would, head over to whatever podcast source you're listening to this on and give me a 5-star review. That would be so great. It helps get the episodes out there to other people who may be wanting to learn God's word. Again, don't forget, guys, until next time, it is a crockpot faith, not a microwave. With God's word, discipleship, patience, you too will be transformed for his good work. Grace and peace I leave with you until next time.